Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings, blessed souls. This is Don Good, Lucio Goodman, and we're live because we want to stay alive. And Torat Chaim, Torat Chesed, Torat Rachamim, instructions of life, kindness, and mercies. This is the 67th show, actually be number 68 of Soul Class. Unfortunately, last night we didn't do a show, so we're going to try to do last night's show this morning in very impromptu fashion. So I apologize to anyone if the delivery is not as smooth as usual. And we'll be celebrating the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai, the son of a living man, which are the teachings from the works of the wise one of Baghdad, Achacham HaRav Yosef Chaim Ben HaRav Eliyahu of Baghdad, who lived around somewhere between 1832-1834 to about 1909. He was drawn from a couple from his works today, because we're only doing a 15-minute show with 13 minutes left. And so last time we did a show on Ben Ish Chai, which I see almost 200 people have listened to the archived version, which I thank everyone and bless everyone to keep on listening and spreading the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai. Before we get into the Ben Ish Chai, I just want to remind everyone that these teachings should not be in any way a contradiction to really the mission statement of Soul Class, with Soul being an acronym for S7O, oldest to universal, oldest to original, U, universal, L, laws, alluding to the Shav Mispnei Noach, which very terse, superficial way I'm just going to define right now for you, which is not to blaspheme the Creator with the name of the Creator, not to commit acts of idolatry, not to commit acts of adultery, not to commit premeditated acts of murder. Number 5, not to steal. Number 6, not to eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive. And number 7, not to raise up righteous statutes, which will back up the other 6 commandments I enumerated, plus to engage in other teachings which will educate in a peaceful and pleasant manner all called by Olam, all the inhabitants of the earth. And the earth has its worth when everyone's doing what they can, each one of us, and I'm certainly including that, doing what we can to dialogue, hopefully, again, in a peaceful, pleasant manner about how to connect in a very significant way to the Most High. Now, the Ben Ish Chai, as well as he was known as a darshan, meaning he would bring out homiletical teachings, ethical teachings, to the masses in Baghdad of Jewish people, and certainly his wisdom also reached out to the Babylonian people, those the Bnei Noach, who lived in Babel, known as modern-day Iraq or ancient Babylon. Those people are, in fact, the descendants of the ancient Babylonians. This is testified to us almost 21 years ago by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Schneerson. We'll give a talk about this in the summer of 1990. But again, redirecting ourselves to the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai also taught matters which would be understood to be the sod of the Torah, the inner understandings of the Torah. And I want to review some ideas which are connected to the idea of Sefirot. So Sefirot are what we would call divine conduits, kelim elyonim, which chain down through the process of ilu v'olu, cause and effect, from various levels of world. The world we're in is known as the world, according to Torah, from the inner dimension of Torah, is called the olam asiyah, the world of action. The world above the world of action is the world of a formation, or olam atzira, which is corresponding to the human faculty, the divine faculty of speech. The world above the world of formation is the world of thought, which is also known as olam abriya, and there is the source which chains down to us our human thoughts, and also chaining down to the world of briya are the thoughts of the Most High, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, and are much higher than our thoughts, but yet something drips down from higher realms within the heavenly kingdom of the Most High that we can access something of His divine thoughts, the teachings of Torah. Then above the Olam Abri is the Olam Atzilut, the world of intellect, also known as the Sofa Olam Ein Sof, the, so to speak, the containment center for the Infinite One, may He be blessed, and His light, in a manner not that He is required to be contained, but rather He allows a revelation from the essence of His light, but Atmuto, to irradiate there, to illuminate there. You know, that should chain down into our thought process, our speech process, and our process of acting out, hopefully in a positive way. So, but above the world of Atzilut, blessed souls, is the world known as Keser, Keter, a crown. And this crown, Keter, is also considered to be one of the Sfirot, which the word Sfira alludes to the idea of Sefer, book, Siper, story, Mispar, the idea of number, calculation, and Sapir, if I didn't. Like a stone which shines out. So again, we have Sefer, Sipur, Sapir, and Mispar. The idea of book, the transmission of teachings. Okay, we have the story that's contained in those books, repositories of knowledge. We have the idea of a calculation of how this story is brought about and manifested. And Sapir, the alluding to the godliness, the holiness which illuminates through the calculation of how to bring it down through the story itself, and then into how the story is encompassed within a medium of communication known as a book. So the Ben Yishchai teaches us that the idea of Sfira, of Keser, is the quality of Arech Anpin. Arech Anpin is the outer dimension of this world realm of Keser we just talked about, which is where there is an emanation out of the Ratzon Hashem, the desire of the Most High, which is inseparable from his the inner dimension of the Most High, which is known as Atik Yomin, the Ancient of Days, or Atik Pnimiyat Atik. And from there is a chaining down to what we mentioned before, Bessos at Olam Atzil, the world of intellect. Now, this must chain down into the most physical aspects of our human consciousness, and one of the ways that we are conscious is that we make sounds. And the Ben Yishchai wants us to know that in the Hebrew nekuda, the Hebrew vowel, which basically looks like a T, which is found under a small T without the basically a small T in the English language, has a sound of O. Some pronounce the word with A. But when we are pronouncing words in the Hebrew, that we should be aware of the fact that this is alluding to the chaining down of a godliness from this realm, which is above the world of action, above the world of speech, above the world of thought, above even the world of intellect, and emanating some sort of ray down from the world of Keser. So the Ben Yishchai wants us to know that. Then the Ben Yishchai comes to tell us that the Sfira of Keser also can be expressed as an expression of the Kotso Shel Yud. If you look at the Hebrew letter Yud, blessed souls, if you have access to it, you can also, those of you who don't know what a Yud looks like, whether you be of the Hebrew, Israel, Jewish people, or of the blessed children of Noah, that you can Google up the word, our Hebrew letters Yud, and you'll see it basically goes from its apex, from the left-hand side, and it scrolls out from left to right, and then chains back down from right to left. But if you look carefully, when you look at the design of the yud, there's like a little stinger, so to speak, sort of like the stinger of a bee. And this kotzer shel yud is alluding to keser, because actually all Hebrew words, blessed souls, have and contain within them, if you have access to looking at the Hebrew alphabet, not known as aleph bet. Very interesting, alphabet in Hebrew, which is an English word which comes from the Greek, sounds a lot like alphabet. But that's a discussion for another class. Now, this Kotzer Shel Yud is alluding to that there has to be extreme self-abnegations, what we know as bitul ha-tachlit, complete nullification, within this letter, within this Lashon HaKodesh letter, this holy tongue letter, which was used in actually emanating out the entire creation, that it can transmit and morph and be part of other letters. And this capacity to receive from above, to bring down below, is the quality of called ayin, a sense of nothingness, self-nullification, self-abnegation. But however, it's connecting the higher world to the lower world. One of the ways we can understand a level of ayin is that if you were to light a candle and you were to see various colors of the fire, at the apex of the fire, you might see a white fire, or depending on the vessels which are used to hold onto the fire, whether it be a wax candle, or an oil candle, or a paraffin candle. Sometimes the fire can be white, orange, blue, at the bottom, it can be different colors, also a green color sometimes we see in certain types of fires. But the thing to notice, Blessed Souls, is look in the epicenter of the candle, and you see a black fire. Now, don't think just because it's colorless, it's not hot, because that black fire is just as hot as the white or the fire or the different other colors of fire on that candle. And that black fire, as it is identified in called Or Uchma, a dark light, or Esh Shchor, is actually the fusing of the world of spirituality with the world of physicality, which is actually holding and encompassing the wick, whatever is that means by which the fire can burn, as it's being fed with the fuel of a wax candle, paraffin, or oil. So this is also alluding to the idea of Keser, blessed souls. Also, Keser can be referred to as Mufla, something which is wondrous, removed, and also called Tela, which is also an expression of wonder. Also, it's called Hu, it's that world, meaning without that world of Keser, that it can there cannot be anything else which comes out of it, which is the wisdom of the Most High, to create this world of Keser. Also, Keser can be referred to as Kedem, as coming before that which will manifest into the world of intellect and then thought, speech, and action. Also, Keser can be called Zaken, which also means elder, and also which is an acronym of this one has acquired wisdom. Okay. Also, with that being so, there's also mazel that the wisdom can drip down from the level of the desire of the Most High, and this level of mazel is also where we see the 13 attributes of mercy being revealed. So, with about 3 minutes to the end, remaining in the show, and again, this is a very impromptu effort on your part, on your friendly, hopefully friendly, neighborhood cyberspace Torah, this is Donald C. Goodman, that I'm going to read to you now, as King David wrote in chapter 78, verse 38, attributes of mercy, which we should be becoming more aware of and invoking right now, especially at this time of earth crisis, and trying to plug it in, teaching the Ben Ish Chai. So basically, I'll read it in Hebrew. V'hu rachum ichaper avon v'lo yashchit v'hirba v'hoshiv apo v'lo v'ir kol chamato. And that means in English, yet he is compassionate, pardons iniquity, and does not destroy. Time and time again, he turns away his anger and does not arouse all his wrath. Now, what's the connection between this, blessed souls, and the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai? Well, the Ben Ish Chai teaches that the time of night is a time of judgment, as manifested by the darkness of the night, without the apparent revelation of the full capacities of the sun, the S-U-N, which is in our world. And therefore, the Ben Ish Chai wants us to know that we have a means of revealing the 13 attributes of mercy, which we of Israel pronounce every day when we start our evening prayer, which I just read before, and I'll say it again, that he is compassionate, pardons iniquity, and does not destroy. Time and again, he turns away his anger and does not arouse all the wrath. We're talking about the wrath of the Most High. And when a member of the children of Israel is able to pronounce this phrase at the beginning of the prayer services, which were ordered by people of the stature of the prophet, those people who lived in this time, like Daniel, Mordechai, Esther, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, which are names I'm not going to translate now, but those are Hebrew names, which you can read about in the book of Ezra, and the book of Daniel, that actually we can intend that the Most High should have mercies upon those people who actually we consider to be wicked, who are suffering in the place of what is known as Gehinnom, the place of hell. But that there are judgments placed upon every person in their based on their conduct, if it's improper. And therefore, there is a need to make atonement. And there's a process of purification which does take place in this dimension within the creation called Gehinnom, not to be confused with the hell that is, so to speak, idolatrized, so to speak, to make people fearful that the eventual place of those who are wicked will end up internally in hell. That teaching is not really connecting correctly according to authentic Torah teaching, but actually hell is actually a temporary place of purification within the spiritual realm in order that the human soul can ascend. But here the Ben Ish Chai is saying that we of the nation of Israel can participate in actually elevating those souls who are suffering with purification process in Gehinnom. Don Zizek has been signing off, everyone. We have a lot more to talk about. We'll try to do another segment this week to further elucidate on this. Another teaching with Ben Ish Chai. Shalom, everyone.